just added up our records from week two in high school football. I believe I went 10-7, one of the worst ever, and I actually was happy with it. I thought it was going to be a lot worse. That was the craziness of high school football last Friday here in Las Vegas. I'm Case Kiefer for Prep Sports Now alongside Ray Brewer, who I will throw the question to right away. What happened?
You know, I thought we were initially going to talk about it's just upsets, baby. I mean, Clark beat Virgin Valley. Nobody saw that coming, right?
Clark did. Apparently, Clark they're fired up.
I actually saw a video of one of Clark's touchdowns, and it was pretty impressive. I mean, not to mention Virgin Valley had no pass rush. In fact, their D-line just stood there. But good pitch and catch from the quarterback and the wideout. And the Morris kid, whose first name I would never know how to say, Aquante, maybe Morris, four-year guy for Clark. And he's having a good year out of the backfield. So shout out to the Chargers, one of many surprises, fair to say.
Yeah, I think it is Aquante. And I also will say, yeah, a lot of surprises, a lot of upsets. But even maybe the reason I thought that our picks were going to be even worse is some of the games that weren't upsets were just closer than we expected. Like, after I saw Centennial last week, I did not think they were about to beat Green Valley. There were a couple other examples. That's one that stands out. It was just all in all a week we did not see coming.
Yeah, and that's another one. Coronado had some long plays on Shadow Ridge, which I thought was a bit of a surprise. Moapa won at Hurricane,
which they had never done in Brent Lewis's tenure.
Yeah, and
all
I
the great
know,
teams
I
they've
mean,
had.
Shout out, obviously. Well, let me ask you this. What was a bigger surprise? Sierra Vista not only beating Basic, but beating them by 20-some? Or Clark beating Virgin? And I was
that,
on the
that's
wrong.
That's a really tough one. I think just because I didn't know as much about these two teams, to be honest, I felt like I knew a little bit about the other game more. I'm going to say Sierra Vista was a bigger surprise. By 26? I mean, Virgin had a great year last year, but kind of been up and down as a program. I feel like Basic now is in a groove where they're just expected to beat everyone except for Liberty, just about.
Yeah, top five team. They've been to the finals of the Sunrise three out of the last 4 years or whatever it is. That's inexcusable. I mean, Paolo held Vista to, what, 7 points in week one?
Yeah.
And now Vista put up a 40 spot on Basic.
I mean, like, everybody on the roster scored. When I talked to Coach Voss, he's listening. I mean, I couldn't even keep up writing all the names, all the guys that did stuff. So, obviously Sierra Vista, we knew they were going to be good this year, obviously even better than we thought. But this has taken nothing away from their women. By 26 points, I mean, Basic had to have not had the best night or is just very overrated.
Yeah, bad week of practice from what I heard. Western, who we were all high on, right?
Well, I'm really good at deflecting blame, so I'm going to take some of my blame on bad week for you because I feel like a lot of these teams I jumped on, you hyped up way too much. Western, I was initially hesitant. Then I was like, all right, last week, maybe they're for real. Another team that I can't believe you got me thinking was going to be really good was Bonanza, who I think I've picked both weeks, and they've just been awful. I'm blaming part of my troubles on you. Thanks.
Yeah, and some things that I just can't figure out is Durango week one slops through Pahrump at Pahrump, which I get it. At Pahrump is a challenge. I saw Pahrump last week, smallest team in America, hands down. I mean, their linemen are 5'9", 160 pounds. You're good. Jersey 59. My Shap Cowboys had a good game. To Ray Collins, CK. Now, I know the opponent was Pahrump. So week one, this Collins kid, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks against Bonanza. Last week, touched the ball 3 times, scored twice, and the first touchdown he scored, he took a little, like, screen pass right at the line of scrimmage. And I was like, oh, boy, he's going to get tackled for a loss. And, dude, he exploded, like, breakaway speed that was, like, Tyjon Lindsey-esque or Isaiah Morris against Moapa in the state game or Isaiah Morris against Arbor View. Like, where did this kid come from? And now I get it. He's only 5'9". He took second in the 100 last year in track. I get the opponent, but that kid, I was like, oh. Like, I even turned to Pauly D, was at the game. And I turned to him, and I was like, whoa. So
Paul De Los Santos, former colleague. Not Pauly D, the character from Jersey Shore.
Yes. Or
who was frequently in town. That's why I kind of confused me.
And not Pauly Shore, the guy from MTV.
Yeah, not him either.
Okay. So anyway, shout out to the Cowboys. Nice win. And we've gone a whole 5 or 6 minutes without talking Gorman or Liberty. Both teams go out of state. Both teams lose. Gorman, 55-game winning streak snapped at Matter Day. And we go back to a similar theme from last week. Gorman unable to run the ball. DTR, heart of a tiger, heart of a champion. Was great. Just had no time to do anything. I taped the game. I watched it. Offensive line, a little sketchy. And Liberty shot itself in the foot repeatedly.
Yeah, I thought the two games were actually kind of similar in that regard. I think Gorman not as much. I mean, obviously they were dominated up front, but if you want to see a team just get mauled up front, I mean, Liberty just had no answer for American Heritage.
And you
no
watch
time to
both.
Do anything.
You watch both games, kind of. Simon. The two. It's funny. You know, we talk about some of these Gorman and Liberty games. So last week Gorman won on ESPN, right? They beat DeMatha, and folks weren't talking about the win or the loss. They were talking about those uniforms, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but you informed me, and I agree. I didn't like the uniforms. Okay. And I hate all-white uniforms, too, so I wasn't a fan of this week's either.
Okay, and then so this week, Liberty loses, and what are people talking about?
The uniforms?
No. The announcer, how bad that guy was on.
It wasn't just me?
Yeah, no. I tried to listen to the game, but that announcer was awful.
Well, I actually feel bad a little bit because I think it was like a high school class, so it was like two high schoolers, but it was just it was rough, and especially because the first quarter they basically said nothing unless someone scored. And then they decided they were going to do play-by-play. And it was just like I had to turn it off eventually.
Yeah. So Liberty found that traveling three time zones probably easier said than done. Obviously, they weren't at their best. I mean, this isn't the Liberty team that we saw in week one against Saguaro or we saw last year in Texas. They made a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes, and the game got away from them early. If you take away the first half, they were decent.
I actually think the defense as a whole was pretty decent. I mean, the offense had a bunch of turnovers, kept setting up American Heritage. American Heritage is also awesome. I mean, I feel like they could compete with just about anyone. Really, really good high school football team. I think their name you don't hear as much as some of these other teams that especially Gorman plays, but I was very impressed by them. And I didn't think Liberty's defense really got pummeled or anything. I mean, you're going to give up some points to American Heritage. It was just the offense could do absolutely nothing in return, and the offense, like I said, also set them up. So I think it was on that side of the ball, I think Liberty's going to see a lot of good things on film. Of course, some things you can correct too, but offensively, like I said, it was just a total mismatch up front, which was weird to see because usually we're used to Liberty locally just always winning the battles, and I mean, they had no time to do anything and really messed up the entire flow of the offense.
Yeah, so the good news about both Gorman and Liberty, they're back on the saddle again this Friday and Saturday. Gorman attempts to start another streak. They host Miami Central out of Florida, obviously, and Gorman plays Alta of Utah at the Polynesian Classic, which I think a lot of folks are looking forward to because good celebration of football and culture, concert in between the two games. The Cuckoo people are going to pack the place. The Haka is going to be awesome. And it's one of these moments you're going to really look forward to as a kid.
What game's first?
The Liberty game.
All right, so Liberty, then the concert, then Cuckoo?
Yeah, Cuckoo.
Okay. Cuckoo's playing someone good too, right?
They're playing Skyline out of Utah.
Okay.
And the concert is by, somebody from the islands. You probably haven't heard of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine so.
And neither have I, but... It, for me, it's good for Liberty to kind of get back on the wagon. Give you a little insider tip. Did you know, Case, that Alta High is the same high school that Kenyon Oblad's dad went to?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, just a little information.
Is that how we
Absolutely not. It just worked out that way.
Okay. Fiji the artist. So yeah. We've got Alta, versus Liberty at 3:30. Fiji the artist, who has that Polynesian tattoo that I shouldn't speak. Because I have no idea about it. I just know it's a
tribal.
Cornerstone of their culture.
Tribal.
Yeah, so he looks the part. And then it's Bingham versus Kahuku, actually.
Oh, Bingham. That's what I meant.
Okay. Well, that should be a good game, though. Bingham's a big-time program,
yeah,
too, right?
Yeah. I kind of feel bad that Liberty, the home team, is kind of like the undercard. Hey, I'm playing a little.
I don't know how well this is going to pick up, but thanks for that.
That was Fiji.
I don't know if that's really going to get me fired up for the next game, but
no, not Liberty's fault. They'll be already in the W column.
All right. Well, Liberty looks like, I mean, they'd probably be the favorite in this game. They're ranked ahead of Alta by most ranking things you can look at. But, I mean, they're coming all the way back from the East Coast. You always are harping on the travel.
Yeah.
Do you expect Liberty to be that loss to focus them and then have like a complete performance, or do you think they might be a little rusty and could be upset here?
I think that Liberty, just because of the event's going to be hyped, they get an extra day because the game's not on Saturday. I think they're going to be just fine. And for me, this is the good part is you lose a game, you get a chance to get back on the wagon, feel good about yourself against another out-of-state team. The fun thing for me is after Gorman lost – it's like local people smell blood in the water. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, maybe X team could beat Arborview. I mean, beat that's my email. Maybe X
you
team.
You can mute that.
Yeah. Well, I turned it up for Fuji. Or Fuji.
Oh, go.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Maybe X team can beat Gorman.
Yeah, I don't know about that still. I mean, I haven't watched the games back-to-back.
I mean, they lost to the number one ranked team in the country.
Yeah, but I'm the number one team in the country, and I'm telling you, if there were no names, if I was unacquainted and I just walked into my house and saw that game on the TV, I would have thought it was a college game. It is unbelievable, like, the different level.
Yeah.
I thought those two teams were just on a whole different level. And it's not like Gorman got hammered. I mean, Modern Day was ahead the entire game. Scored early. I mean, it could have been worse, but still 35-21. I mean, Gorman still – Modern Day just looks like they have an all-time team. Gorman still is not that far behind in what's somewhat of a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not fair to say, but compared to the last 2 years. So.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, interesting to see Gorman hasn't lost since, you know, Randall Jr. was the quarterback back in, what, 13?
Yeah, 2013.
So, interesting to see how they do after a loss. How do they recover? And I don't know, was it you that told me or somebody else, but maybe that now that the streak is over, that, you know, there's some – you're relieved. Now you can just get on and play football and have fun instead of feeling you've got to extend this streak that, I mean, it was eventually going to come to an end. I mean, to me, what's still important is winning state.
Yeah, it wasn't me that said that, but, I mean, it does make sense.
Somebody's
going
to listen to the show and said I stole their opinion.
Well, I mean, it's in some way, it's inevitable that it's going to put a little bit of pressure on you, as much as you want to say that it's not. I mean, it's going to be in the back of your head, and now that is absolved. And, I mean, Gorman should be favored in every game from here on out. That being said, Miami Central's very good. This won't be a walkover.
De La Salle next week is very good as well.
Yeah, so I think that Kenny Sanchez will be able to get them refocused and trying to win these next two games, knowing how big of a challenge they'll be.
Yeah, my mom watched the Modern Day game too.
Oh, yeah, what'd she think?
She just loves local football. She's all fired up. She's ready to go.
Yeah, that Modern Day quarterback looked very good. JT
good.
Daniels, I believe.
Yeah, he's going to SC, apparently.
Yeah, it was USC versus UCLA. USC won this round. Modern Day 35, Bishop Gorman 21. What else? I mean, we kind of jumped all over the place. I guess the one other thing, I think you mentioned this just, you mentioned their name. I don't really know why in that thing about someone beating Gorman, but a really impressive score last week. Arborview 51, Desert Pine 0.
Yeah, Arborview got its revenge. Somebody put on Twitter that Arborview has outscored its opponents. We're talking all three levels, like, so six games, JV, freshman, varsity,
right.
Something like 282-20.
Whew. I mean, I knew that they'd be fired up. And I mean, Arborview turns over a lot. They play a lot of seniors. We know that. So there's probably not even that many kids that were on the team that lost to Desert Pines. But I know this game probably meant a lot to the coaching staff, and they were going to be locked in and ready. But, God, I just thought Desert Pines had so much talent they'd at least be able to put up some points. I mean, 51-0, it's really got me thinking, what's going on with Desert Pines this year?
Yeah, and so some injuries to unfortunately report. The Jaden Mitchell kid out for the year, ACL. Christian Mayberry, Green Valley, ACL. Kid from Faith Lutheran had an ACL as well. So,
brutal.
Yeah.
That's tough.
It's tough in week one like that. It seems like DP loses a kid every year to an ACL, right? Smith, Patassi, Grayson.
Yeah, that's a good point. DP will try to bounce back this week against Las Vegas. If they can't score again this week, then there's going to be some big problems. 8 quarters, no points for the defending state champions. One other game we haven't mentioned that jumped out to me. Close, but from what I've heard, very sloppy. Foothill edges Palo 15-14. Kind of what we said on the podcast last week, as I said, I thought this was going to be a close game. I knew it was going to be a defensive battle, and lived up to the hype. I think both these defenses are really good, and they're going to be a pain for everyone.
No, I totally agree. You know, and we talk about how Faith Lutheran is young, right? I mean, I'm
definitely
sorry, not Faith Lutheran.
Well, Faith Lutheran's young, right?
Yeah, but I wasn't talking about Faith Lutheran, though.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about Foothill.
Okay. I didn't know where you were going. I thought maybe since Palo plays Faith later. They don't play this week, though. I think Legacy plays Faith.
No,
Green Valley. God, I'm all over. Legacy plays Palo. Excuse me. Got us all mixed up right now.
Yeah, yeah. And then Legacy put up another 100 points this weekend.
Yeah, against Mojave. They played Saturday morning, I believe.
Yeah.
150-14 or
yeah.
Something around there.
So the Longhorns are 2-0, getting ready for the Battle of the Bulls eventually with Arbor. That's going to be a game.
Yeah, we'll see this week, Palo Verde. I think that could be a good game. I mean, they haven't faced much resistance in terms of defense. Like you said, they scored at will, and I do think Palo is going to be by far the best defense they've seen so far. So I think that's one to watch on Friday night.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
All right. Well, that's kind of a rundown on the crazy week that was. Is it time to look at the week that
let's,
will be?
Let's eat, baby.
All right. Well, we'll start with the team trying to start a new streak, as you said. Bishop Gorman hosting Miami Central. I know you like Bishop Gorman in this game. Why? Who do you think leads them to victory this week?
You know, I just think that, you know, that Gorman back at home is always tough to beat, obviously. Miami's got to travel a bunch of time zones over, and that's tough to do for college, high school, whatever it may be. And listen, Gorman's real good. They lost to a team that is equally as good. They've been doing this national stage thing for quite some time, so I think they're going to be ready to roll.
Yeah, I've got Gorman too. Like I said, even despite the loss to Modern Day, I still came away kind of impressed by them. Obviously had their issues, but I mean, they have some kids that are ridiculous, still some big-time playmakers. I think they'll make enough plays to win, but I do think maybe a little close. I think they'll pull away in the second half, so I've got Gorman as well. The other big game with an out-of-state opponent and a local team, Liberty, hosting Alta as a prelude to the Fiji the Concert Show.
Yeah, baby.
Fiji the Artist.
Liberty wins the game, and they're front and center for the concert, brother. I think Liberty is going to go all out for this. I know the night means a lot to the people there, and I expect them to be on all cylinders. We're going to see the real Liberty team.
They're still super plugged into the Polynesian culture too, right? I mean, it seems like when they first burst on the scene, it seemed like the entire team was that, which might not be as much anymore, but still very much a
you know,
part of the program.
You know, Coach Nua and the Thai family, and you know, the it's just everywhere. You know, you go, you know, Coach Cap up and down that roster, up and down that staff. It's just Polynesian guys and the players from the, how do you say it, Finehusu family.
I would need it in front of me. I'll just say that you got it right for this time.
The two brothers, the one guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
So It's a big day for these folks, especially with a team coming in from Hawaii.
Yeah, I agree. I think Liberty gets it done, and I think hopefully they can kick back after the game and enjoy with some of that good island food, Fiji the artist, and enjoy another game maybe.
Roast a pig, baby.
All right, so we agreed too much on the first two games, so thank God one we can disagree on next. My team, I think you were just a year too late on this team, and you're not getting on board. The second week in a row, you picked against them last week, and they won 52-7. Sunrise Mountain hosting Spring Valley. I love Sunrise Mountain. I think Moapa is a lot better than they put on this year. Beat Hurricane, as we saw, the Daxton Longman kids throwing all over the place. They held them to 13 points, 13 to 12, and then we saw what they did last week. I don't think they're losing to Spring Valley here. I will go as far as to say I think they're going to give Desert Pines a run in this division.
Wow. I just – maybe I'd have to see them in person to believe it. Again, I'm a little skeptical just because of last year. But I'm picking – I got to go with things that I know. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're a little too skeptical from last year. If you look back at their scores, they lost every game by, like, a couple points. They make one more play, and they're, like, as great as you thought they were going to be last year.
If they make one more play four times.
Well, I mean, even if they do it twice, they're about what they thought. So, if in a close game, it's going to regress to the mean eventually. You're going to win about half of those close games. So, I think they got unlucky in a couple of them. If they don't lose all four, they're probably right where you thought they were going to be.
Yeah, I just think they're getting a real test this week, a quality opponent with a good athletic quarterback in the Stanton kid. And, you know, I think Spring Valley continues its winning streak. If Spring Valley does what it needs to do, they're going to win this game straight up.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take anything away from Spring Valley 2-0. Like you said, I like the Silo Stanton kid too, but I am totally on board with Sunrise Mountain. Not jumping off now. I think it'll be a close game, but I like all the playmakers they have, and I think the Miners improved to 2-1. And it's pretty crazy how close they are to 3-0, considering they played Moapa in week one. Next game, another one that I personally think could be close, Legacy and Palo Verde.
Yeah, I mean, Legacy's offense has been on point all season. Palo's defense has been on point as well. And in the Northwest, as we know, every game is important because there's a lot of good teams that can make the playoffs. So if you don't bring your A game right away, you're going to be in trouble. Palo had an extra day to prepare because it played on Thursday. Legacy loses a day to prepare because it played on Saturday. Still don't think that makes a difference because Legacy's either going to throw it with Valenzuela or run it with Whitehead, but they're going to move the rock, baby, and they're going to score a lot of points. I got the Longhorns.
Yeah, what's like Ray Brewer's number one theory of high school sports? Not sports specific, but when you're picking a game, what's your number one thing you always say?
I don't know. You're setting me up for failure.
I thought you would get it for sure. To take the best player, I thought.
Yeah.
And Valenzuela has been ridiculous this year. And even last year, I know he had his ups and downs, but against Palo, he threw for three touchdowns. And they won 45-14 last year. That's the one thing that's holding me back from picking Palo in this game, is just that Valenzuela already beat him up last year and looks way better this year. So I'm going to go with Legacy in a close game. I think Valenzuela can throw the ball enough to score some points on the defense.
All right. Legacy, baby.
Legacy times two. We're agreeing way more this week. Not sure I'm a fan, but what can you do? Green Valley at Faith Lutheran. Strap in for this one. There's going to be a lot of throwing the ball. This game might last 4 hours.
I totally agree. Faith has had plenty of time to recover from its trip to Colorado. I just don't see how Green Valley stops them. The Faith quarterback threw for, what, 1,900 yards in week one? Sagan Groenier.
Groenauer,
same thing. Especially with how Green Valley looked against Centennial, I just think Faith is going to go in there and have some good success. Unfortunately, unfortunately for my pick, not unfortunately because I don't like Green Valley, I think that they're going to score some points too. This is going to be a shootout, man, but I think Faith scores some more.
Yeah, Faith Lutheran, with that game canceled this week, had the whole week to sit around and kind of marinate on that loss where they put up a ton of yards. Like we said, it was kind of controversial. I think they have a lot of weapons. Green Valley, it's tough to know what to make of them yet. Two such close games. They pulled out both of them.
I tell you, the one thing that's – I mean, you saw the Centennial offense at Foothill, right?
Yes.
Work in progress.
Certainly.
Okay.
Apparently it wasn't last week, though.
Why?
They almost beat Green Valley.
Yeah, but they only scored, what, twice? What was the score?
I want to say a 24-21.
Either way.
That's a solid score. That's about an average score, I think. I could be wrong.
Okay. I'm picking.
You look like you're about to go at me, and then you just
I think I was trying to build up a case for Faith Lutheran, and I just.
Well, I'm picking Faith Lutheran. It was 24-21, by the way.
Okay.
All right. So I guess we'll go with Faith Lutheran. Both of us on that one. Next game we have Silverado at Arborview.
The one thing I had to tell you about Arborview, man, they got they've had some easy runs of it the last, you know. Vegas wasn't that strong. DP turned out to be not that strong. And
two teams that, I mean, not both of us, but each of us thought could be bitter challenges at different.
Yeah. I just worry about Arborview. They're having such an easy go of it, bro.
Well, we know that's going to end eventually. I mean, all those Northwest games are going to be tough. I agree with you. This week's going to be very easy. They should destroy Silverado. But, I mean, after that, it's Faith Lutheran and Shadow Ridge. So I think they're going to be able to get up for those two games. Las Vegas at Desert Pines.
It's a good. This game is causing me some confusion. Because I just don't know. Desert Pines is a mystery, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Vegas played much better against Snow Canyon from Utah last week. Still lost, but
that
it
shows
was
you probably how good Arborview is. But Desert Pines hasn't scored, right?
Yep, eight quarters, no points.
They
again.
Lost one of their best players, if not their best player, to a season-ending injury. They're coming off a 50-some point loss, and yet I think they win this game. And I'm taking them.
Yeah, I think I got to go DP here, too. You just look at where we thought these two teams were 2 weeks ago. We would have had DP winning in a landslide. I don't want to overreact too much to them playing two really good teams. So I'm going to go with Desert Pines as well. Valley at Durango.
Durango, they're 2-0. Listen, Valley, I thought, was probably better than I thought they would be. They put up a decent-sized fight last week in their opener. But I think Durango with TK Fotu is just a little ahead of the equation.
I've been super impressed by Durango. I did not think that they – I think I might have picked against them both weeks. I mean, traveling to Pahrump, I know you said you weren't that impressed, but not easy to win there. And then just absolutely obliterating Bonanza. The Fotu kids averaging like 15 yards a carry or something ridiculous. They've been able to throw, too, with Caden Renshaw completing a high percentage of his passes. I just don't see how Valley is competitive here. I've got Durango big. Next game, Cimarron Memorial at Cheyenne. Cheyenne kind of let us down last week. Was not even competitive with Canyon Springs. Is it any different with Cimarron?
No. I think that Cimarron's one of these teams that I think is – what are they, undefeated, and they've been running the ball well, and they're playing teams that they could compete with. I still don't think they make the playoffs, but they win the rivalry game with Chi-Town.
Yeah, I mean, they could certainly make the playoffs if they were in a different division. It's going to be tough in the Northwest, but it's quite the achievement, I think, for them just to start 3-0, being that the program's been down the last couple of years. So I'm going to go with Cimarron and shout-out to those guys. You have this as the game of the week. It might be hard to disagree. Shadow Ridge at Moapa Valley.
You know, this one is real interesting. Would you agree with me on that?
Oh, absolutely. I think any time Moapa plays like a bigger program like this, it's very intriguing.
Yeah, and any time you got to play there, right?
Yeah, with the travel too.
Is darn interesting. So I don't know. I have no idea. I pick Shadow just because I don't think that Moapa, Shadow's got a few guys that are like, you know what I'm saying?
Aubrey Nellums and Cody Presser and
I just think that guys like that are too big and physical for Moapa. And if Shadow doesn't put the ball on the floor, then they should be able to win. Now, they did give up some long passes against Coronado, and Moapa does throw the long ball. And going to Overton is, I mean, it's tough to get there. There's people at the game, and that's why I think it's going to be really close. And I would love to be there for that game. I just don't want to have to drive there for it.
Yeah, quite the haul. Moapa Valley, though, I think the one reason why they're so good year after year is I just feel like fundamentally they're always sound. I feel like they're going to be able to stop the run. And what does Shadow Ridge do? That's all they do is run the ball. I feel like they're not going to put up a 40 or 50 spot on Moapa Valley because Moapa Valley is going to stick to their assignments. I think they're going to be ready, always well prepared. And like you said, Moapa is throwing the ball as well as anyone. The Daxton Longman kid has been unbelievable. Derek Reese, a receiver. So I think the Moapa Valley defense is going to be able to slow Shadow Ridge enough to get this win. Also, I would say their track record is pretty good in these games when they play like these good but not great higher level teams. It seems like they win them more often than not.
Yeah. You're taking Moapa?
Yeah.
Okay. You owe me $5, right?
I guess technically, yeah. I forgot. I took Gorman last week. What are you going to make in the line on this?
You tell me.
I asked you.
You did ask me.
Yeah. Don't deflect it.
Shadow minus 5.5.
All right, I'll take it. Moapa plus 5.5. There we go. I might be in a $10 hole after this one, but I think I explained my reasoning, and I like Moapa here. Next game, not quite as exciting. Maybe we would have thought it was going to be close until last week, so hopefully we're not overreacting. But Clark at Del Sol. I thought Clark was going to get destroyed last week. They come through and beat Virgin Valley. I still haven't really figured out what happened.
I don't think anybody has. Like I go back to that one clip somebody put on Twitter that I saw, and it was a good pitch and catch, which I totally didn't believe that Clark – it's a play that I didn't expect Clark to make. And I'm like, maybe Boulder's better than I thought they were.
Well, they got to be. They're 2-0, and they beat Clark in week one, 34-33.
And they beat Western by double digits. Not that Western's great. I mean, they hadn't won since 2010, but we thought they were improved.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Boulder plays Needles this week. We're not picking the game. But I don't know what to make of Clark, but I know what to make of Del Sol. They're having a hard time stopping people, so I'm taking the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, you already gave the Quante Morris kid a shout-out, but – Justin Aguilar even threw 4 touchdowns in that game. Clark offense kind of clicking on both counts. So I'm going to go with Clark to keep that up.
And they held the Levitt kid to like 100 yards.
I know. Who hadn't been stopped in forever? Jaden Perkins.
Yeah. So yeah. When I left that Shap Perump game, I'm like, maybe my Cowboys have a chance to win the whole thing. Right?
I don't blame you. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking myself into Sunrise Mountain.
And now Moapa's got to be licking its chops because if they get the one, baby, you get the one. And if you win the Sunrise, everybody's in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
If you win that league, you're hosting like the Little Sisters of the Poor at your house to go to the state semifinals.
I know. It's the lower level all of a sudden is very interesting. The one thing I will say is – I think I say it a lot, but not to overreact to one game. Virgin Valley did beat Moapa last year, did look good at the end of the year. Maybe they get better as the year goes on. I'm kind of torn on what to do this week, though. They host Mojave, who the Tawi Walker kid is unbelievable. I know they didn't give up much of a fight against Legacy, but, I mean, if they can get blown out by Clark, it stands to reason they could lose to Mojave, right?
Yeah, and I picked Virgin just because – Mojave made no effort defensively against Legacy. I know that Legacy is light years ahead of them, but you would think that the loss to Clark would open the eyes for Virgin where they can't take an opponent lightly. Okay? And you would think they get back to what they do, and that's pound on the rock. The Walker kid I love. He'll probably be the best player on the field. He cramped up a little bit against Legacy. He could take the game over, but I think I just don't see Virgin losing this game. I took Virgin, bro.
Totally agree. I got Virgin in a close game. This is one to watch, though. Not a close game the next game, because almost all Rancho's games, unfortunately, aren't a close game. They're trying to build the program back up. They're hosting Pahrump Valley, and I think we're both going to have the Trojans.
Yeah, and for whatever it's worth, I was super impressed with that quarterback for Pahrump. Throws a nice ball. They've got a decent tailback. It's just, it's Case, smallest team in America. It's real easy, but I love the way the kid threw the ball, the Pahrump quarterback.
Dylan Kaufman?
Oh, bro. He throws a nice ball. And they were up on Schapp for a little bit. I think this is a great spot for the Trojans. Get ready for league play. Get yourself a W away from the hump, right?
Yeah.
Over the hump to Pahrump. I don't know if you've heard that saying.
I have not heard that saying.
All right. Have you ever been to Pahrump?
Yeah, I think you ask me this every week on the podcast, and every week it remains unchanged. I have not been to Pahrump.
You got to go up there one night.
Yeah, I think that's how you that's how you finish off the exchange as well.
Have I given you my blackjack story in Pahrump?
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's a disaster.
Maybe this isn't on the podcast. Maybe it's just in the newsroom, but I swear we've had that conversation many times. All right, well, we both have Pahrump. Biggest game of the year, at least stakes-wise, for your Chaparral Cowboys? The Cleat game, right? Against El Dorado?
Yeah. Did you ever watch ESPN College Game Day?
Not since I've moved here, because it's on way too early. Never waking up that early. But okay. In the old days, I'd watch it every week.
But they do the picks with, like, Corso and Herb Street, and they have a celebrity coming.
Right.
Yeah. And you know how Herb Street doesn't pick because he's doing the TV games?
Right.
I feel like I shouldn't be picking the Schapp Eldo game.
You aren't going to be there, though.
I'm not going to be there or covering it, but I feel that everybody knows I went to Schapp, and it wouldn't be fair to my friends at Eldo, who I really, as you know, I've got some people that I've become close with over the years, or at least I think we've become close. They might not agree.
They've kind of struggled, though.
Have struggled. And, bro, I was so impressed with this kid from Schapp. I mean, I'm telling you,
did
right?
Did he get hurt though? I forgot. Didn't
Collins?
He get hurt at the end of the game?
No, the quarterback.
Oh, okay.
The quarterback, who's a sophomore, Joe, and he should be playing in the Polynesian Classic, right?
That's his last name.
Should
be playing in the Polynesian.
He hurt his ankle, and he went down like they were going to have to amputate his leg right on the field. And like two quarters later, he limped back out there in the fourth quarter. Chaps up by 25. I'm like, why are you putting this kid in his arms away? But he played. But the Collins kid is like a rocket. Like, I wanted to text – you know I got a few college coaches in my phone, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to text every college coach and be like, hey, when you win a bowl game with this kid, thank me later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm so quick. And I just think if Schapp's smart and they get the ball to the kid in space, they're going to be in trouble. And I tell you, they got a great addition to that coaching staff, Don Willis. Remember from Clark?
Yeah, absolutely.
That dude knows his way around a football field. He's over there, and I love that guy. And I just – maybe I'm drinking my own Kool-Aid, but I just – I don't see Eldo hanging with them. Eldo is – they got to get that Rancho game so they could get – you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you say if Schapp's smart. I feel like at this point – I mean, you can't even deny it anymore. I think they are smart, and they are a good team. It's year after year. They come back, and they're one of the best teams on the lower level. I did not expect this 3 years ago when they first made the semifinals. I didn't even expect it to happen again this year, but you got to be impressed with what they've done so far. Tyre Collins is a big part of that. I think that I don't think it's just you. I'm going Schapp big in this game as well.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, two more out-of-state games left. Mar Vista from San Diego coming to play Bonanza.
Rule of thumb, always pick the California team.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to go Mar Vista here. As we've mentioned, Bonanza has really struggled. And the final California versus Nevada game, Canyon Springs hosting Clayton Valley.
Who they beat last year in California, right?
They beat them last year, really.
I thought they did. You might want to look that up.
I thought they lost.
Oh, well, shoot. I picked the California team. I don't pick Vegas teams against Cali.
I think unless our...
Until next week when I pick Gorman over De La Salle.
They lost 35-7 last year.
Oh, did they? Oh,
yeah.
Well.
I've got Canyon in this one.
Okay.
I mean not Canyon. Excuse me. I was very impressed by Canyon last week, but I've got Clayton Valley.
Okay.
Hey, so we're going to be in agreement.
Before we go, do a little roll call here. A lot of locals on NFL rosters. NFL starts this week.
I saw you tweeting a bunch of them.
Yeah, a few of them got cut since the tweets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so our guy, Kai Nakua, who we love, right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves the kid.
Uh-huh.
He made the Browns 53-man, and then on the waivers, they picked up like three or four guys. And he got cut, and then he got added to the practice squad.
Oh, that's well, I mean, I'm glad he made gets to make a living, be on the practice squad, but I was really excited to hear he made the team. It's too
yeah,
bad
I mean,
it
the,
didn't happen.
The pay difference, you know, you go from making 100G to like 400G. But
all reports are very positive of him in the preseason and training camp, though.
Yeah,
really
so
a
chance
for,
I mean, practice squad he developed, so chance for him to develop. And you know how it is with injuries. He could get on the team before the year's over.
Oh, yeah, especially, definitely.
Yeah. Ben Jacobs back with the Panthers. He went to a Super Bowl. Brandon Marshall back with the Broncos. He went to a Super Bowl at Silverado and Cimarron. Kerwin Williams back with the Cardinals. And I think he's their backup quarterback. I'm backup running
yeah,
back.
Yeah, he is. They cut Chris Johnson.
Which is amazing for that kid. That's phenomenal. Patassi, Cedric, or Jeremiah, whatever you want to call him. I knew him as Cedric, then he became Jeremiah. Made the Jags, then got cut by the Jags, and he's just out there hanging around. Of course, DeMarco's with the Titans.
I think you haven't even mentioned my favorite one yet, the guy that's been like a breakout star. He might end up being one of the better defensive players in the league.
Ooh, who's that?
Killebrew.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the kid's, like, off the charts analytically.
Yeah,
it's been great.
Him. I forgot about him in the tweet initially. But, yeah, Killebrew with the Lions. He's probably a safety in the dime package, and he's a backup. But he's right there knocking on the door. Am I forgetting anybody?
I'm surprised. I didn't think he was a backup, but well, what do I know, I guess? I don't know. The Killebrew was the one that I was waiting for you to mention. Yeah. Maybe they just play the dime a lot, but I'm telling you, the Killebrew's numbers, I stumbled across. I've been studying the NFL all weekend, and the kid was really, really good in his first two. This is third year?
Second.
Okay. He had a great rookie year, kind of under the radar, so he was on my mind. That's a lot. That's a long list. I got to think that's longer than when we started doing this six or 7 years ago.
And then I think, like, Noah Jefferson, or Cam Jefferson, Noah's brother, got cut by the Bills. And Billy Winn, Vegas high guy, I think is on injured reserve with Denver.
He's had a good run in the NFL, though. Played for Cleveland for several years. So look out for some of those guys.
Oh, and I forgot Lawrence Guy's with the Patriots.
Oh, right,
from
right.
Western. And he wasn't on my tweet either. Gosh, I'm awful.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard. That's like, I mean, you probably just mentioned, what, 11 or 12 guys? It seems like a whole bunch at least.
Yeah.
So there you go. Watch those guys on Sunday. Watch high school football on Friday and Saturday, the Polynesian Classic. We'll be back to break it all down next Monday. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now.